sermon and everything is on the laptop. It's dead. Bad news is Katie printed me out some synopsis so I can still go ahead. So, and it is a bit of synopsis, and I'll make the rest up as I go on. And Ian says, well, there's nothing unusual about that anyway. So anyway, but so listen, I'm trying to do this off memory. Obviously the announcements this morning, you generally will have, we had some great announcements. We spent Tuesday making all these fantastic announcements on the screen. Where are they? On my laptop. So unless somebody believes in the resurrection of laptops, and it's an Apple Mac as well, I can't believe it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I need some of you guys at the end of the meeting to pray over it and pour oil. No, don't pour oil on it, but do something with it. But anyway, Christianity, it's not what you think. It's a series we've been going through, and it's on the internet. Christianity, it's not what you think. And we've looked at Christianity, number one, was about love. And then we talked, not only was Christianity about love, the first ingredient of saying you're a Christian is that you will have a tremendous love. But it's also saying that we look at people from the outside and we don't impose our values and principles on them. We want to impact them. We want to make an impact, but we're not here to impose. But we are here for those who are on the inside. So outsiders, we do not expect them to have the same value and principles as you and I have. They don't know Jesus. Why on earth would they want to buy into something they don't believe in? But you have taken Christ as your Savior. Therefore, you're on the inside. Therefore, Christianity is something that you have bought into. Therefore, you need to be a follower of Jesus. Those on the outside are not yet followers of Jesus. So it'd be wrong for us to impose our values and principles, and we should not be shocked. And we need to have, the third point about being Christianity is that we need to have grace and truth. And then we learned another stage of being a Christian is that we are the salt of the world. We are the light and the salt of the earth. No one is going to show who Jesus is like you and me. And if you don't show who Jesus is, Jesus won't be showing. Because Jesus said, we are his ambassadors. That's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Peter spoke on it this morning about what can you do for God. Romans 12, verse 1. I love it from the message. Present your everyday, working day, normal life unto Jesus. Let the love of God so shine with grace and truth that we are salt and light to a generation which will look at us and we won't have to impose our values. We will impact them because they will see a difference with us. And then last week we spoke on the prodigal son about angry Christians. Angry Christians. And today we're coming, what do you call a sermon when it's the second one off the end? It begins with P. I can never get... it's one of them. And today, Christianity, it's not what you think, and the subject is loopholes. Because here we have a perfect picture of religious people who had created loopholes so that they could have an answer and impose on people burdens which God never had commanded. And there are people and Christians who can give you a verse for anything that will suit their needs for a particular time. And someone come up and say, don't believe in tithing. He said, that's an Old Testament principle. What he was actually using, he was looping a loophole. He said, so I don't have to give the church. He said, it's Old Testament, it's not grace. I said, okay, go and read 2 Corinthians 7, 8 and 9. Because that says, God says, out of the abundance of your heart, give. But he had a scripture for me. They're loophole Christians. Loophole Christians are Christians who know what they should be doing, but they'll find a verse or they'll find something so able to counteract so it suits their type of belief. Whereas followers of Jesus simply say that if God says this is how it is, then this is how it is. When God says sin is sin, we say it's sin. When God says truth is truth, we say it's truth. When God says love one another, what do we have to do? We have to love one another. When God says be part of a family, and God says be part of a family. When God says do not forsake the sake of yourselves, assembling to church as others are doing, what is God saying? God's saying don't stop going to church. When God says, listen, he said to the Pharisees, by the way, this is not the introduction. No, I'm doing okay at the moment. When God says, so it's not even the finally yet, so don't get comfortable. But when God said to the, do you know what he said to the Pharisees? He said to the Pharisees, do you know, I've got no problem with your giving. Do you know, he said to the disciples, sorry, the Pharisees, if your tithing was as good, sorry, if the rest of your life was as good as your tithing, you'd be wonderful Christians. He had no problem with tithing, Jesus. He said to them, he commended them for their tithing. Read it, it's in Matthew. Said to the Pharisees, it's wonderful. Your tithing is wonderful. But he said, the rest of the stuff you're doing is garbage. And they went then to call them white sepulchres. But he had no problem with their tithing. God didn't have any problem with tithing. And Peter brought it out this morning with a widow and the widow's mite. But you see, people use loopholes. Are we Christians? Are we loophole Christians? Are we looking, knowing what God wants us to do, but we can find a verse to suit the situation which we find ourselves in? It's caused more wars. And it's caused more wars. Religion than anything else. As people have taken Scripture and interpreted Scripture to suit their needs. I can find any verse to find anything. I promise you, you can find any verse in Scripture that will satisfy your theory. I'll guarantee it. There'll be a verse in Scripture that will satisfy the niche in which you want. Well, that's not how God wants us to live. God wants us to live by obeying the truth. And the church is at best when it embraces both truth and grace and refuses to let go of either. You and I are to be followers of Jesus. We are not to look for loopholes. We are not to look for shortcuts in our faith. We are to have that grain of mustard seed that we've been talking about this morning. And we are, if we're followers of Jesus, to have a love for one another. Todd's wife bought a very expensive cosmetics for his wife to make her look years younger. And after a lengthy sitting before her mirror and applying the miracle products, she said, well, darling, honestly, what age would you say I am? And he looked very carefully and thought, I better tread carefully here. So he said, listen, your skin, darling, you look like 20. Your hair, 18. Your figure, 25. Oh, you flatter, she goes. Oh, wait a minute, said Todd. I haven't added them up yet. Loopholes. I'm always trying to find loopholes when I don't like things that I'm doing. When God challenges me, the first thing I do was try and look for a loophole. Jonah tried for a loophole. He thought he'd run away from God. He knew what he had to do, but he thought, I'll have a loophole here. And I want to ask you this morning, you see, followers of Jesus and the disciples, which made them different to everyone else, is that they were committed to being followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus do not back down. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so he could control them. Among the brethren assemblies, half compiled and half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. And almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the two groups of churches. And there was much tension. Finally, they decided that the situation had to be healed. And leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. And for several days, each person spent time in prayer and examining his own heart and the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together. Francis Schaeffler told us, one person from the interview team, "What did you do then?" He replied, "We just became one," he replied. "We confessed our hostility and bitterness to God. We yielded to God all our anger. And the Holy Spirit came in. And a spirit of unity came among us. Love filled our hearts. And the hatred dissolved. We proved that if we have a readiness to obey the commander, then we were able to bring us back to united fellowship again." The trouble with the Pharisees, they obeyed the commands, not the commander. And what was happening is this, because I'm just... The Pharisees brought this rule out to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, "Your disciples are breaking the law." I want you to notice, he didn't say the law. Did you know that? What word did they use? Tradition. And what they said was, "Listen, years ago when God brought the law out about cleansing, he had it for the priests. And the priests would have to scrub their hands, scrub this, scrub this. They had to give themselves a good scrubbing so they were perfectly clean." Okay? What the Pharisees did years after is they brought in a law to make sure that the law that God had said was complied with. And they said, "So to cover everybody, we're going to say that everybody has to wash their hands, their fingers, their thumbs, their legs, their arms. They've got to do all of this before they can eat." God never said that. They were bringing laws in to compel you to the law that they thought God had wanted to introduce. And God said that was for the priests. And Jesus had to turn around and say to them, "Listen, it's tradition. Number one, it's wrong. It's tradition. I'm not breaking any law. Because that law, the law you're talking about, was made for the priests, for cleansing." And the Pharisees brought in hundreds of these traditions, hundreds and hundreds of these traditions, which were to compel people to obey some things that was never intended. And God says to them, "Listen, let's read it. You followers, don't wash your hands before you eat," Jesus answered. Mind, it's a good principle. Okay, so don't give this verse to your children. Make sure that your children do wash their hands before they eat. "Why do you refuse to obey God's command so that you follow the traditions you have?" God was saying, "You're so warped in your traditions. This is what you have done. God said, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long on the earth." What they were saying is, if a mom and dad, because remember in those days there was no social services, if you were a parent and you had children, your children had to look after you when you got old. It's still a tradition in the Middle East today, and a very good one. And so God says, "I want you to honor your father and your mother. I want you to look after your father, your parents, as much as you can." But what the Pharisees did, they said, "Well, this is what we're going to do. If you say to your parents, I can see that you need food, I can see you need housing, but listen, the money that I've got in my bank, I've decided to dedicate that to God. So I'm going to keep it in the bank in case God ever calls on me to use it." And he says, "That means I don't no longer have to look after you." That was what the tradition was. That is what the Pharisees had brought in. It was a loophole. It was a loophole, so they did not have the responsibility of looking after their parents. And I'm telling you now, in the Christian society, Christians should be outstanding as people who look after their parents, or people who are outstanding people of God, who show grace and care for the community in which we were in. Because listen, we're too many of us are looking for loopholes. And God said, "That's your problem. I've got no problem with your tithing. Because giving to God, as Peter said today, is mega important." And I have to say, you may say to me, "You're under grace now." If you're under grace, then 10% is out of the window. It actually goes quite a lot more in 2 Corinthians 7, 8 and 9. Let's stop being loophole Christians. Let's take the Word of God. Let's examine the Word of God. But let's apply the Word of God to the situation in which we find ourselves living in. And Jesus said, you are prepared to see your own parents suffer rather than spend the money that you have for them. That's what God was saying. And the Pharisees couldn't know it. And Jesus says, the problem with you is you brought so many traditions in that you have made God's word counterfeit. Whoever says anything bad to their father and mother must be killed. But you teach that a person can say to his father and mother, I have something that I could use to help you. Notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you're saying, I've got something that I could help you, mom and dad, but I'm going to give it to God. You are teaching them not to respect their father. So you are teaching that it is not important to do what God says. You think it is more important to follow your traditions than it is to follow God. Let me give you a wonderful love example. On May the 2nd in 1962, a dramatic advertisement appeared in the San Francisco. I don't want my husband to die in the gas chamber for a crime he did not commit. I will therefore offer my services for 10 years as a cook, a maid, or a housekeeper to any attorney who will defend and try and win the freedom for my husband. One of San Francisco's greatest attorneys, Vincent Halliman, read the report in the paper and the advertisement. And he contacted Gladys Kidd, who passed it. Her husband was about to be tried for the killing of an elderly antique dealer. Kidd's fingerprints had been found on the bloodstained sword in the victim's shop. But he said, I never did it. And so his wife placed that dramatic advertisement. I'm offering my services for 10 years as a cook and maid or a housekeeper. Vincent Howland said, I'll take the case. And he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the killing wasn't done by the sword. That he was actually innocent. And that husband, after 11 hours on the jury, they found him not guilty. The attorney Halliman refused Gladys Kidd's offer of 10 years of servitude. That's amazing love. Isn't it? That's not tradition. That's not loophole. But I wonder how many times we do look for loopholes. And our walk with God. How many times are we looking for loopholes to get out of situations that we don't want to be in? I believe we have to be Christians of integrity. You see, Jesus doesn't like it when we use his Father's words to avoid doing something we know is his Father's will. Can I repeat this? Because it would have been on the board. Jesus doesn't like us when we use his Father's words to avoid doing something that's in his Father's will. He has given us his scriptures. He has given us his word. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, and that is that you love one another. And Jesus taught the religious leaders, the greatest commandment is to love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Then Jesus said this. The second command is that you love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. He was saying that everything else is secondary to these two great commandments. Loving God and loving your neighbor. And if we embrace both of those, I believe that as Christians, we would win our communities. There would be something in us. The disciples of Jesus used Scripture as a mirror. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? And we've put eight questions, that I've been putting every week. And I'm hoping every week you're doing those questions. Entirely up to you. But the first question that we're asking ourselves on this is, what loopholes are we making to suit our Christianity? What loopholes are you making to suit your brand of Christianity? So why do we have so many different churches? What is it about you that you want out of Christianity that will suit your needs? Or are we saying, no, I'm a follower of Jesus. Whatever the Scripture says, that's what I intend to do. I may not always get it right, but being a follower of Jesus does not allow me to interpretate my own principles, my own values, but I have come under the sound of what Scripture says. What does it mean practically to you to be a debtor to people, to owe them continue a debt of love, according to Romans 13 verse 8? Why is it? You see, I believe we're going to do a networking course. We're finished. This is the final. We're going to do a network course on a Monday, probably a Monday evening. We're going to do the shortened version. And it's to try to encourage you people to come and sign on. And if you've done the course before and you want a refresher, you can please come on it again. The network course is to find your giftings so that you can use your giftings both inside the church and outside the church. I believe that God, you see, 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 9 to 11 says this. You who have been saved from idols, salvation, have been saved to serve the living God and to wait for His Son coming. Read it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think it's 9 to 11. Three things a Christian is about. First of all, he needs salvation. He needs to come to a place where he accepts Jesus as his Savior. But then the second thing is he has to serve. Serving. The disciples were great servants. What was Jesus' last thing he did before he went to the cross? Is that he got on his knees where poo was stinking on people's feet. He got a towel and he washed their feet. He was a servant right unto the end. What did he say in Mark? He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. I'm afraid service is part of being a Christian. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 to 11. People sitting in the back doing projectors, people handing out books. What we're saying is, I believe if the whole church was integrated, we have got so many gaps. But I believe that we can fill the gaps. I don't believe we need people to come in. I believe I've got resource here. I believe I've got an oil of resource here, untapped. And we're saying we want to obey God's scriptures. We're not looking for loopholes. I need to serve wherever I am. And before anyone says anything, before I was ever a minister, at 16 and 17 year old, the day I came to know Christ, I was serving in my local church. And my first service was to clean the toilets and to hoover up the main brethren hall. And I did that. I do it now. I have no problem with it. See, God saved me to serve. God wants me to have an impact on the community in which I live. Not to impose myself on them, but to have an impact. I'm serving on two schools. That's taken up a lot of time and probably, I think, too much time. And I need to sit down and revise it probably. I'm doing it that I might have an impact on the schools from the Christ point of view. I became a chaplain for the fire station because there was a desperate need. No longer really doing that now. But at that time there was a need. And I just felt that I needed to do that. These were all extra hours. You see, I'm saved to serve my Master. There are no loopholes. Christ commands me to come to church. There are no loopholes. Christ commands me to give and to be a generous giver. There are no loopholes. That woman gave two mites. Peter didn't know we were going to speak, and she gave two mites. She went away more justified than anyone else. You see, she was still under law, probably. Well, she was under law. But grace would have said to her, out of your abundance, give. And I believe she would have still given her two mites. Because it was from the generosity of her heart. 2 Corinthians 6, 7 and 8 and 9, they talk about this giving. And they're just simply saying, Paul says, if God's blessed you this week, then you can give more. If God hasn't blessed you this week, then you can't give. There is a whole ethos. It's not 10%. I agree with you. It's not 10%. It's much wider. God is saying, if God has blessed you this week, then I want out of the abundance of your heart to hilariously give to God. Hilariously give to God out of the abundance which He's given you. If He hasn't given you the abundance, you can't give. And so there's going to be a networking course. We're going to start it up. It's over 3 Monday nights. And you'll find your gifting. And then I want to release you into your gifting. We had a nightmare last Sunday morning with CDs and with the sound system and everything. And Kevin came in. I can't remember the day. I think it was Wednesday. He came in and gave up his time. And he sorted the stuff out. Today we haven't had a problem. That's giving up your time. That's giving up your talent. God's not asking us to do things we're uncomfortable with. If you come on the networking course and sign up at the Hub, I want to engage all of you. Because let me tell you, if all of you are working for the church, and I mean working in the sense of your passion and your giftings, you'll feel more involved. You'll feel more integrated. A value. Home groups, again, is something we have a great home group. And I would encourage you this morning that we look to do what we can for Him, both outside of our lives and inside of our lives, in the sense of the people that we meet. May God help us not to be loopholes. May God never say to us, as He said to the Pharisees, you've actually put a law in there to protect another law, which was never really necessary. God said, love one another, love Him first, love one another. And in the whole of that ethos of loving one another, may we become the people that God wants us to be. I wonder how many of us would have given ourselves offered ourselves 10 years doing anything they could so their husband could go free. I found that the most powerful. That's a true story. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ laid down His life for us who were His enemies, because He wants us in His family. He wants us, but He wants us to be Christians who will follow Jesus every inch of the way. Father, we pray this morning that we don't look for loopholes, but that we look just to do whatever You've called us to do, Father.